Welcome to VOA's Campus Connection. I'm David Byrd.
And I'm Lin Yang.
If you are hoping to study in the United States, one of our guests this week has some practical advice for filling out your application.
Students need to be themselves and not think, what can I say to impress the admissions office in this application process?
We'll also visit the home of the Kilties, Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh.
We'll hear from an American-born student and a Chinese student about their transitions from high school to college.
We'll check in with students to find out what their worst experience in college has been.
And what's it like to be in an intensive graduate program at an Ivy League school and only have 1 year to finish? That's all coming up on this week's Campus Connection. Now, Lin, you came here from China to study in the United States. How long before you came here did you start preparing your application?
I would say probably at least 2 years ahead of time, because I know I have to take English proficiency tests and, you know, standard tests. So those takes a long time.
And you came for graduate school.
Yes,
we should clear that up. It wasn't
for graduate school.
Now,
yes.
Were there things that you wish you had known then that you would do differently?
I guess no. I feel like I did it pretty well and I got admitted to 3-4 universities, and finally choose San Diego.
Oh,
that's
Tritons.
My destination.
Okay, well, for me, the application process was pretty simple. Fill it out, send in a check, wait for the answer. 9 days later, boom, welcome to the class of University of North Carolina.
That is very fast.
That is pretty quick. But mom and dad both went to Carolina, so that helped too. But for international students, it is much more complicated than that.
For some tips on filling out your application, we spoke with Anne Carville, the Director of International Admissions at Boston University in Boston, Massachusetts.
One thing she said is to remember that it is a more holistic, varied system in the United States than in some countries overseas.
For many systems in the world, there's sort of one pathway to higher education, one test, very clear admissions requirements. And in the U.S., you know, we have a very splintered system. So we have over 3,000, you know, degree-granting universities and colleges and really something for everyone, with different deadlines and different admissions requirements and different expectations and holistic versus threshold admissions. So I think for the international student who's embarking on this journey to study in the U.S., it's all about researching at the institutional level, which can be challenging, but I think it's very rewarding because it can allow them to have a really good fit for an institutional fit.
And says that international students should start early to prepare for the standardized tests many U.S. schools require and for their English proficiency exams.
And so if they want to have sort of as many options as possible, they should be prepared for that. And I think that, you know, their sophomore year, or they would call their second year of secondary school, that they should really be thinking about planning for that. We know that these students abroad are often in very rigorous curricula, whether that's the International Baccalaureate or the Abitur or the French, you know, Baccalaureate, whatever it is, and that these rigorous programs are often require a great amount of their time. So planning to take these SAT tests in conjunction with their already rigorous schedules, I think, is challenging. So starting early, making a plan for those tests. Also, the second test I like to mention is either IELTS or TOEFL, which are English proficiency type tests. But again, planning that early, because I think the challenges in time management are great, particularly for these students.
And if you are applying for school, Anne Carville says, it's very important to remember your deadlines and to remember to be yourself on your application.
But I think at the end of the day, students need to be themselves and not think, what can I say to impress the admissions office in this application process? Rather, you know, who am I and what do I hope to bring to a dynamic community overseas? And I think that's at the heart of it, because I think sometimes I've had students abroad ask me, what should I put on my CV? What do you, and I think, you know, you're sort of asking me, tell me what to be and I will be it, rather than being yourself in this whole process, because that's what we want.
Anne Carville is the Director of International Admissions at Boston University.
We welcome your questions or comments. Log on to our Facebook page, VOA Asia.
You're listening to VOA's Campus Connection. Going to college is a transition to begin with. You're no longer in high school. You might be on a campus that has 20 times as many people as you've ever been amongst.
But what if you're in a new country? Or what if you're transitioning from a smaller school to a large university?
To get some perspective, we spoke to two students about to graduate from the University of Maryland.
Bo Chen is from Beijing, China, and moved to the United States to go to Maryland.
Asia Hester is from suburban Maryland and spent her first 2 years in community college.
We asked both of them what the biggest change was when they started their college education.
It's new country. It's everything is different. You got to speak English all the time, and you are totally at a different place that everything, even the simplest thing in life, is difficult for you. Not difficult or scary for you.
It's like interesting when you mention excitement. Yeah, So apparently there's a thing called freshman myth, Asia. So it's about, when you're just graduating from high school, you're very optimistic and confident about your future, and you have unrealistic expectations about what you're going to achieve, you know, academically, socially, personally. Do you encounter that problem when you just enter college?
So That myth did not apply to me. So in my senior year at high school, I knew I wasn't going to like a big university, because it was way expensive. So my parent was like, you're gonna do community college. And I was like, okay, like that was it for me. It was just, okay. I wasn't particularly excited about community college because at that time, it, like university was where you wanted to be despite it being expensive or not. But once I got to community college, I was like, this is fun. It's a smaller atmosphere. If you didn't go to a really big high school. And so I think it was good for that. And also just saving money because you are only getting your general education credits, in your first 2 years anyway. So,
Yeah, in a smart way.
Yeah.
Bo, you were kind of thrown to the wolves here in a certain sense because you have to navigate this new country and this new language and these academic challenges all by yourself.
Right.
Where did you turn to for help? Were there any resources you turned to?
Actually, my parents have some friends here. So they're permanent residents. They're Americans now. So they invite me to dinners and to some grown-up parties, and yeah, so they actually spent a long time taking care of me, so I asked some questions, and they talked to me. They tell me, like, this is how you do things.
Now, did they help you with time management? Because you are in high school when mom basically tells you what to do, when to do laundry, or your laundry is taken care of, when to do homework, and when you just enter college, how is that different? Go ahead, Asia.
So for me, like I said, I went to community college, and so the transition was much slower coming out of high school and going to like a big university. What I find to kind of overcome that is just like I started a bullet journal, which is where you can create your own dream kind of organization. Just you putting where your priorities, where you want to be. So, kind of creating like your own schedule and not like what your teachers or what your classes kind of expect of you. You can just take it one by one because that's like all we can do sometimes.
Now, Bo, did you have to do that same kind of thing? Did you have to learn basic organizational life skills? And then, you know, things like practical things like balancing your budget, doing your laundry, buying your own food, stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm still really horrible at managing my time. I would do much better in my tests, and I've got higher GPA if I'm good at managing time. But since Dave talked about managing money, for a lot of foreign students, money is actually not a big problem because the U.S. government makes sure that we can pay, the family can pay for us, and we're not supposed to work. Spend time to work outside of school. You can do internships, but you're not expected to earn money. So that kind of So every student comes to the United States are rich. That's people starting asking that, oh, Chinese students are just rich. No, because you don't let any people cannot afford college to come in. I think I still need to face the challenge of managing money once I go into grad school. That's a lot of less funding for me because I don't think my parents will still be supporting me.
So yeah. No scholarship from the Chen Foundation anymore.
No.
Son, you are on your own. Time to be the grown man now.
Especially for Chinese students, we are most of our generation are the single child. Mm-hmm. Only the super rich family, they can have the second child because they have to pay a fine. So single child means you get everything from your parents, all the love.
Okay, well, last question for both of you, and I'll start with you, Asia. If you now could go back to you when you were starting college and convey one piece, one pearl of wisdom to your younger self, what would it be?
Okay, so my piece of wisdom would be follow the freshman myth and be optimistic. Do not worry about things that are kind of out of your control. Worry about the present. And also, be social. Talk to people. Try and get to know your teachers. Join clubs. You don't have to join all the clubs because that will stress you out. Kind of just stay true to yourself and find things that interest you, and the people will find you, and you'll find yourself as you go along.
Okay, Bo, your turn. What would be your recommendation to your younger self?
To my younger self, I have to say, life is not linear. So, in Chinese high school, you have this illusion that everything is score, everything is test. That's how people evaluate us because we have this test to go through, the college entry level test. In Chinese, we call that Gaokao. So. Mm-hmm. People don't worry if you are fit. People don't worry if you know anything outside of the book. People don't even expect you to actually know the stuff you learn. As long as you have a good grade, that's everything you should do. And probably they expect you to worry about anything after college. And while here, after I come here, it's like, no, how do I evaluate myself? If I get a bad grade, does that make me a horrible person? And actually it took me some time to actually realize that there's no this single way to evaluate what you are, who you are, and are you doing right. There's like a lot of more choices you can make.
Bojin is from Beijing, China, and Asia Hester is from Prince George's County, Maryland.
We'd love to hear your stories as well. If you'd like to tell them, let us know on our Facebook page, VOA Asia. This is VOA's Campus Connection. I'm David Byrd.
And I'm Lin Yang.
Now, Lin, do you know what a kiltie is?
A kiltie?
Yes.
I've never heard that word before.
Okay. Well, anyone who has ever attended Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania would know.
Well, VOA Mandarin Service reporter Chu Wu visited the campus and has this profile of the school.
Computer science, coding, Google, Facebook, and tech, these words constantly emerge when talking about Carnegie Mellon University in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Funded by steel tycoon Andrew Carnegie, Carnegie Mellon University has the best computer science graduate program countrywide, according to U.S. News and World Report. It also ranks 24 among all U.S. research universities.
Comparing to my previous 2 years in another school in the U.S., the syllabus here is very reasonable at the MU. If you major in computer science, no matter which direction you want to take, you can always find lots of classes that you want to take. Faculties are very patient and all very passionate about computer science. You can discuss all kinds of problems with them, and they are always patient to answer you.
In the field of computer technology, CMU is advanced in both research and teaching. With very rich resources and a wide network, students graduating from here in the related fields have a promising career future.
Take my program for example. Almost every one of my classmates finds internships, usually in the best companies like Facebook. Some of them also intern at startups like Airbnb and Uber. Always the best companies. When they graduate, they usually will go back to these companies with the best job offers.
While he is very pleased to hear positive feedback from students, Director of Admission Mr. Greg Adelman says Carnegie Mellon offers much more than just computer science.
We have students here that are very, very passionate about computer science, but literally the building that's connected to the School of Computer Science is our drama building. So we have students here that are just as passionate about drama. We have students here that are studying creative writing, and they're super passionate about creative writing. And on the surface, it might not seem like that those disciplines overlap, but then you start thinking about video game design. And it's going to take a computer science major to program the video game, but it's going to take a drama student that's going to make the motions look real. It's going to take the creative writing student that comes up with the script, the music student that adds the soundtrack.
CMU encourages students from different disciplines to communicate and cooperate. Therefore, students take various courses and learn all kinds of skills here.
I have learned writing scripts, coding and design, like graphic design and video editing. I have never learned these when I was at school back in China.
According to Mr. Adelman, 18 to 20% of the freshman class consists of international students. However, unlike many other schools, it does not provide financial aid to international students. At $70,000 for tuition and living expenses, CMU is among the most expensive schools. Would it be worth it? Mr. Adelman believes so. He explains that CMU is not a place where one person can do all things, but it is a place that pulls together the collective strengths of the university and provides opportunities for innovation and collaboration in a natural way. And to him, this is the best thing about Carnegie Mellon. For VOA's Campus Connection, this is Chu Wu, VOA News.
But David, it still didn't tell us what a kilty is.
Well, now, fans will know that Andrew Carnegie was a Scotsman, and the trappings of Scottish culture, including bagpipes, a fife and drum corps, and men wearing kilts, are a part of the CMU campus.
So basically they'll wear those kind of skirts that
it's
Scottish
not a
people...
skirt. It's not a skirt. It's a kilt.
Okay, I know what you're talking about right
okay,
now.
Okay, well,
so
the fife and
cool.
drum and the band, and they wear kilts.
So it's basically like, you know...
A kiltie is somebody who wears a kilt.
You go to school in Scotland.
Yeah, well, I
sort
guess.
Of.
I
Experience
guess.
The culture.
Yes. Lynn, you came, as we mentioned, to the United States to go to graduate school mm-hmm. at University of California at San Diego. Go Tritons.
Correct.
Okay. But it took you 2 years to get your journalism degree, right?
2 years is actually in public policy, but yeah, 2 years of very intense coursework.
Now, can you imagine doing a master's degree in just 1 year at an Ivy League school?
What? You've got to kill me, probably. For 2 years, I thought about quit. Because
really?
It's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work.
Even if for 2 years.
Even if it's 2 years. Well, our intern, Sana Ali, talked to Nadim Omarshad. Now, not only is he a graduate of Birmingham University in the UK and the London School of Economics with a master's degree, but he completed a master's in journalism at Columbia University in New York in just 1 year.
Nadim, it's been almost a year since our master's program ended. You know, we had a pretty intensive program. Everything was within a span of 9 months. And so looking back, how do you think that experience was versus a longer program that some other journalism schools offer?
I mean, to be honest, I can't really complain, actually, because it all worked out wonderfully for me in my position. As a foreign student, especially coming to Columbia was a bit of a gamble financially and in terms of my career. But because of Columbia, I was able to get a placement in D.C. And because of that placement, I was able to get the jobs that I have now. So I really just can't complain.
So what would you say say was the best part about such an intensive program. I guess I agree with that. It was paying for just a year of like rent and things like that does help as an international student.
Firstly, it depends on what you mean by intensive, because the program was not difficult. It was intensive in the sense that there was a lot of work to do.
Right.
The actual level of the work was not too complicated, is fairly straightforward.
Yeah. So, you know, because it was just 9 months, like for me, the first thing was moving to New York. There was so much I wanted to see in the city itself and explore. But then we had a lot of work that we also had to balance. So how did you balance that work and social life?
I think because I was coming from London, which itself is a pretty intense city, and because I had done a postgraduate degree already, a much more difficult postgraduate degree.
And what did you do your other degree?
I did it in globalization, economic globalization. Because I had come from a job where I was working, you know, long, very, very long hours at, you know, night shift, you know, day shift, all that kind of stuff. It was actually kind of, in many ways, much, much more relaxing than the life I had before. I was really looking forward to being a student again. But ultimately, the people, I think this answers your previous question, which I didn't quite answer as well. I mean, the people just make it amazing and they make it worthwhile. And they make, if you have good people around you, then anything is bearable already.
When I was thinking about that myself, social life-wise, even most of my friends in New York were from the program itself. I think we all kind of knew each other's routine. And like when our master's thesis was due, that was a busy period for everyone. Okay, so what were the downsides of a shorter program and compared to a longer program?
Saying goodbye to people after only 10 months. I mean, you know, it's a very intensive program, which is why I think we got very, very close, because all this new is 10 months. But it would have been nice to have had another year to really hone the skills that we had received in those 10 months and really just get to know people to that next level.
For sure.
It was really, really tough just saying goodbye, in and out, just like that. But maybe if it was longer, we wouldn't have had such an intense and amazing experience as we did. Our year was very special. Definitely saying goodbye to people was the hardest part.
Yeah. So if you had to say, what was your favorite memory of the year?
So many. Honestly, every day, was amazing in its own way.
I mean, one day that I keep remembering is the election, and when the election the night the elections took place and the morning after.
Well, that was unique. I wouldn't say it was an amazing. I mean, in terms of like what was the most incredible memory, which is a bit different from amazing, I think, is that probably, you're right, election night, because it really felt like you were part of this great historical moment. And I've never really felt that before. To be in exactly the right place at the right time, or you could argue the wrong place at the right time, or the right place at the wrong time, you know, because it depends on what your political affiliation is. But it was just really, there's a feeling in the atmosphere, and being with my friends and colleagues from the journalism school was just incredible. And I look back at those pictures from that night, and I just think, you know, this is very, very special, very, very few people can say that they were there when it happened, and very, very few people will be able to tell, you know, family members or their children that you were there when this crazy event happened.
Well, that sounds like a genius to me. He must have great time management skills that I don't have.
Yeah. Well, you know, if you've done something like that, if you went into a real high-pressure program and finished it all in 1 year, we'd love to hear from you. You can tell us your story by logging on to our Facebook page, VOA Asia. You're listening to VOA's Campus Connection.
So, David, what would you say was your worst moment in college?
First heartbreak.
Aww.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, my dorm, we would have mixers with the girls' dorms, right? Mm-hmm. The floor you're on would mix with the floor in there.
Okay.
And I met this very nice young lady. And you remember the old my name is tags?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
She had a thing that said, expensive. This should have been a warning. And here's how smooth I was as 18. I was like, well, I have the money if you have the time.
Right. Okay.
I was smooth. That was my Mac Daddy line. And, well, now you got to understand, this was my first really serious adult
relationship. Yes.
This is not puppy love. This is like, boom, fall hard. You know?
Yes.
Like songwriting kind of relationship. That's how deep this was. And then just, you know, a couple dates and okay, bye.
Expensive.
See you.
Aw.
What? That... I was like, wait
and
a minute.
And the soft Davis heart is like, oh, man. All broke.
My grades went like, You know, I almost got thrown out of school. Honest to goodness, I almost got thrown out of school. So that was probably the worst moment in my college career. Well, and let's put it, you want to know how bad it was? 37 years later, I still remember it.
But, I mean, that's your first heartbreak. Yeah. You'll always remember that.
Yeah. Well, what about you?
Mine was, now I think about it, it's a lot, I don't know. Mine was basically in graduate school. I came, you know, from China to a new country at 21 with just facing culture shock. And then I just overload myself with TA work and graduate school workload. And also I was doing an internship all in during the same semester.
So you burned yourself out.
I feel like I just enter a bubble of depression because I couldn't handle anything well.
Mm.
So I'm glad that, you know, the firm later is just like, okay, you need to go. I'm like, okay, thank God.
Well, we wanted to find out what some other students in our local area here around Washington said was their worst moment in college. Here's what they had to say.
It's quite overwhelming to take too many classes every semester and have to take like summer courses during summer holidays, so I can only go back home for about 1 month.
Since I've been at UMD, things have been kind of hectic, but you know, despite the fact that like, our professors are really good and they help us out in all our assignments and stuff, but still like we have a you know, good amount of workload, and so like I sometimes feel we miss out on the whole, you know, balance between, you know, our work and life and, you know, our social life. So that's some aspect that I would really appreciate if it's improved in UMD.
I don't know. I think everything's fine. The weather's fine. The campus is good. And, you know, the food is okay. So, yeah, I don't really have something that I would say the least favorite.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of VOA's Campus Connection.
We'd love to hear your stories. Let us know by visiting our Facebook page, VOA Asia.
Who knows? You might even be on our program.
I'm Lin Yang.
And I'm David Byrd. Join us again for another edition of VOA's Campus Connection.